My name is Jessica.
My name is Chris.
And I am Karina. Today we will be discussing the novel, The Handmaid's Tale, written by Margaret Atwood. We will specifically be looking into the idea of independence throughout the novel.
Jessica and I will be looking into the real-world applications of this topic, and Casey and Karina will examine the function of independence in the novel. Without further ado, Casey and Karina kick us off.
To provide a little background information on The Handmaid's Tale, the novel is dystopian and set in the future. The novel is told through the perspective of our protagonist, Offred, living in the Republic of Gilead, which basically used to be the United States.
Offred is a handmaid who is oppressed in the society. She has no professional job because she exists solely for her commander, Fred, and his wife in order to provide them with a child. The novel depicts her journey as she struggles to find her individuality and fight for her freedom within this oppressive regime.
While I was reading the novel, I kept thinking about this idea of independence and how men hold all of the power in this society. The men are educated, literate, make the decisions in the society, enforce laws, and are ultimately in control.
This really contrasts the women in the novel who have little to no power. The social status and power of the women varies mainly on their position within Gilead. Gilead has placed the women into a hierarchy based on obedience and wealth, in which each group of women is distinguished by the color of their clothes. These different groups of women listed in order based on the hierarchy include the wives, the aunts, the Marthas, the handmaids, the Econowives, the Jezebels, and the unwomen in the colonies. The wives wear the color blue and are married to the commanders. The aunts wear brown and are tasked with the role of training handmaids. The Marthas wear green and are assigned with carrying out any and all tasks within the household. The handmaids wear red and are forcibly assigned to a commander in order to produce children for him and his wife. The Econowives wear stripes and marry low-ranking men. Jezebels are rebellious women who chose to become prostitutes instead of being sent to the colonies. And finally, the unwomen who live in the colonies do not serve any purpose in Gilead because they cannot reproduce, which is why they're at the bottom of the social pyramid.
Along with the hierarchy of women, a hierarchy for the men also exists. There are various different roles for the men in the society, which include the commanders, the eyes, the angels, and the guardians. The commanders are basically the ruling class. The eyes are like undercover police in this society and make sure all of the rules are being followed. The angels are soldiers fighting in the war and protecting the border, and the guardians can be promoted to angels when they are of age. Some men in the society still have regular jobs like doctors.
Within Gilead society, the wives hold the highest level of social status a woman can have. They are seen as the most powerful women as they are married to the commanders who hold the most power among the hierarchy of men. Although the wives are at the top of the pyramid, they still don't hold overall power in Gilead as they are overruled by men. The wives still lack a sense of individuality and power as they are forbidden from having sexual relations with their husbands. All childbearing rituals must be done through the use of a handmaid while the wife watches.
The commanders are similar to the wives. However, ultimately the commanders are above everyone in this society. The high-class men, known as the commanders, hold the most power, hence why they are able to get away with so much. Overall, these men embody masculine ideals through their actions. This is primarily evident throughout the novel when the readers learn about everything the commanders are able to get away with. Offred, our protagonist, meets with the commander and learns about his access to black market products like magazines and also the commander's ability to go to clubs. Offred's interactions with the commander really allow the reader to understand the male's perspective in this society.
Women no longer have jobs in society. Their main purpose is solely for reproduction and serving to please the ruling men of the society. There is a clear lack of freedom among the women that has been prevalent through the Jezebels, as their sole purpose in the novel is to be a source of entertainment for men of higher class, such as the commanders and their guests. With the extremely strict laws of the society and the fear installed in the woman by those in power, women are only really able to use their bodies as a symbol of power. Offred highlights this loss of autonomy and the devaluation of women and their bodies in the face of oppressive regimes in chapter 13, when she says, "I used to think of my body as an instrument of pleasure or a means of transportation or an implement for the accomplishment of my will."
The differences between the men and women in the society are really evident. The women are forced to take extreme measures in order to survive in the society. After Offred meets with the commander several times, she builds up the courage to ask her commander for lotion. The commander laughs at her, and this shows the drastic difference between their perspectives and ultimately the roles and freedom in the society. The commander has access to all of these goods. Meanwhile, Offred has to steal butter previously and use it as means of moisturizer.
Throughout The Handmaid's Tale, people who cooperate with the system of Gilead tend to have greater chances of improving their social status. Now, let's take a look at how real-world situations compare to the idea of power and lack of individuality in this novel.
Thanks, Casey and Karina. I love the way you interpreted the independence, or lack thereof, of women in the novel. As for this idea reflected in real life, we can definitely see some similarities between the two, one of which is the wage gap between men and women. Throughout many careers and professions, the difference between the annual salary of a woman versus a man becomes staggeringly apparent. This particular situation essentially demonstrates the lack of power that women have in society due to employers and corporations, most specifically to the United States, which is where The Handmaid's Tale is loosely located in. The role of capitalism is vital to the way society works. By decreasing the annual wages of women through these big corporations that essentially run the United States, women are being stripped of not only their economic power, but their overall, quote-unquote, status in society.
Yeah, like, I completely see what you're saying. Not only is the wage gap something that heavily differentiates between women and men, but also just the occupations in which women held, especially during the time the novel was written, which was in the 1980s, I think 1985. Women were still seen holding passive roles such as nursing and teaching, whereas men still heavily dominated other working fields such as engineering, construction, and technology. And despite many efforts during this time to call for gender equality, women were still pressured to go into these fields or stay at home and take care of the house and have a family. I feel like both The Handmaid's Tale and The Real World really in the sense that women were pressured and therefore kind of forced to just play a certain role in society.
I think you're so completely right about being forced to play a role in society. And I believe that many of the roles that women most commonly found themselves working in were not due to purely chance, but instead from also a correlation. Many of these roles that women ended up in are due to the societal pressures, but also due to certain circumstances that they encountered, such as we can see through the percentages of single mothers compared to the percentages of single fathers. We can see how when we compare these two percentages, it becomes really evident and clear that there are a lot more single mothers due to either the father never becoming a parent in this woman's life, or due to the increasing divorce rate that the United States is currently experiencing. Because of this, many corporations or businesses prey on these women who are in need of money in order to take care of their growing families.
Yeah, isn't that just crazy? Just like the fact that businesses will quite literally prey on women in need and women who don't have any other options or support. And I think that's all just really based on how society was built in the first place, with both the roles of masculinity and femininity. So I think that just first started from the beginning of time, where women have always been associated with being passive, being nurturing, and subordination, whereas men were always associated with the traits of aggression, strength, dominance. I feel like American culture didn't really differentiate from this norm at all, because their norms were based off of European culture, where this was heavily prevalent. And men were always considered the decision makers and providers, the people who worked, whereas women served the sole purpose of doing domestic work, such as cooking, cleaning, doing the laundry, etc. This also included living just for the purpose of bearing children and then taking care of those children. And this eventually just became a whole cycle. At some point, the only quote-unquote acceptable role for women was to marry someone, have children, and keep up a nice household. This role is especially present in The Handmaid's Tale when we're looking at the role of the handmaids and how their only purpose was to produce children, and on the side of the wives, where their only purpose was to take care of the household and take care of the children as well.
I think that I agree with all of your points, obviously, but I like the fact that you mentioned that America kind of just loosely based off of their societal structure, off of European societal structure, due to the fact that America did start as a European colony. And I think that Margaret Atwood might have used this as inspiration for when she was making the fictional Republic Gilead. because obviously I think that Gilead is not just purely fictional, but really a representation of what America could have turned into previously, if not for the protests of women's suffrage from the waves of feminism that not only the United States experienced, but really Europe as well, post-World War I and post-World War II. And the lack of power and independence seen throughout history in the United States is what inspired Margaret Atwood to create this, to not just as a way to like tell people that America loosely based their societal structure off of Europe, but to also demonstrate to her readers the political and moral conflicts of the role of women in society during her time period. I believe the way that Margaret Atwood captures this concept is perfectly executed in so many ways, and many of these ways were mentioned by Casey and Karina earlier throughout this podcast.
Yeah, I think these are all just really great points, Chris, and I think Casey and Karina did a really good job of discussing the actual roles of the novel earlier. But anyways, this wraps up our episode for our podcast. Thank you for listening in, and catch you on the next episode where we're going to discuss, well, actually, I won't disclose that just yet. You'll just have to listen to the next one to find out. Bye.